Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Bradford Barron of Drinker, Bill & Reith, and I represent the appellants in this case, passenger Chris Daniels, passenger Adrian Durso, pilot Michael Roberts, and pilot Ann Poe. Because this is a consolidated appeal, and because for the purposes of this appeal, the issues for the passengers and pilots are the same, I'll refer primarily to the passengers. We are here today to address whether a district court has jurisdiction over airline passengers' claims that their Fourth Amendment rights were violated when employees of the TSA put them through whole-body imagers, which in the case of one passenger produced a nude image of his injured testicle, and in the situation of both passengers, extensive pat
downs. You may want to direct your remarks a little more closely to the issue before the court.
Yes, Your Honor. For two reasons, we believe that the district court should have accepted jurisdiction of this case and that its ruling should be reversed. First, we do not believe that the passengers' claims are inescapably intertwined with the purported order at issue here.
How do you describe that claim now before us? What is that claim?
We seek an injunction, Your Honor, because we believe that the type of search that occurred here violated the Fourth Amendment, Your Honor.
You're not seeking, there's no Bivens claim anymore in the case, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So how's that any different than the case we had in Epic?
Well, Your Honor, we believe that that case is slightly different because in Epic did not seek an injunction.
Well, but it's the same thing. I mean, if we had agreed with the petitioners in Epic, we would have vacated the rule, which would have been the same as an injunction.
Your Honor, we see it just slightly differently.
Yeah, what's the difference?
We believe that an injunction that we seek in this case would prevent this type of search from occurring in the future, regardless of what order.
Well, that's what would have happened in Epic. If we had granted the petition, the agency could not have conducted the kinds of searches under that particular SOP.
And that is correct,
right?
Your Honor.
So how's that any different than this case?
Well, Your Honor, in Epic, that injunction would have been limited solely to the searches that were pursuant to that particular SOP.
No, it would have been pursuant to the devices that were used there. In other words, if we had found that the advanced imagery at issue in those SOPs presented a Fourth Amendment problem and we vacated it, they could not have used that. Now, they might have issued another SOP in the future with different technology, but they could not have done that again. And I don't see how that is any different than a district court injunction.
Well, Your Honor,
can you explain that to me?
Well, we believe that the process would have been different in how the Fourth Amendment claim would have been adjudicated because of where we seek to have our claim heard. In particular, because there was never any public comment or rulemaking, and to this day, we're unaware that any has occurred.
Do you know of any case, and I don't think you said any, that have held that due process rights are violated by which court you were heard in? Do you understand what I'm asking?
I do understand what you're asking, Your Honor. And while that may be correct, we believe that no case has dealt with the particular facts at issue in play here because a court of appeals...
No case has ever dealt with the particular facts in any case. I mean, you get your own facts each time you come in a case.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And nobody has ever held that hearing a case in one court instead of another court is a due process violation. Has it? No case anywhere.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
But we believe that in this instance, because a court of appeals is only required to potentially allow a further rulemaking or other procedure that would put additional information on the record, that a district court is the more appropriate place to have our case heard because we would actually
being a more appropriate place does not necessarily rise to constitutional level, does it, counsel?
That for our purposes, we believe it does because our claim, we do not believe that a court of appeals is the appropriate place for it, given the fact that the administrative record is one-sided.
Congress has said to the contrary. You have a problem here with the statute. Congress says that in B, it's made a decision that the court of appeals has exclusive jurisdiction over these kinds of cases. Now, you may be right that it would be better in the district court for some reason, but we're dealing with a pretty clear statute here. that Congress has made a judgment that it should be here, not in the district court.
I agree with part of that, Your Honor, but I believe that the statute has a very limited role for the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals may only amend, modify, affirm, or set aside a particular order.
Yeah, and the set aside is identical. At least you haven't explained to me why setting aside this SOP would be any different than an injunction by the district court. Now, you have said that, well, the district court, you know, could collect additional evidence, but, you know, if you were arguing this case for the first time here and convinced us that the record was inadequate, we could remand it to the agency for more evidence. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, when you got a statutory language like this and you're not seeking damages anymore, in fact, I don't even see why this entanglement, what do you call it? I don't even see why the inextricably intertwined, it's not even relevant to this case. Well, you don't have a Bivens action anymore.
Well, Your Honor, we don't believe that our claim is a direct challenge to the order, nor could it have been, because at the time we brought our lawsuit, we did not know, nor could we have known, that the order even existed. Because it was promulgated in secret, it has never been
published. Once you knew that, and since we do now know it, why isn't Judge Tatel correct that the proper route for you to go is to follow the statute?
Because we
come to this court instead of the district court.
We believe that the injunction that we seek is slightly different and outside the purview of the jurisdictional statute.
How is it slightly different? Even assuming slight difference would be enough, how is it slightly different?
Yes, Your Honor. We seek a ruling that the type of search based on the parameters of the search should be enjoined regardless of the reasoning, the order, or any other purpose or order behind it.
You could only get an injunction that would cover what is before the district court. The district courts can't give you roving injunctions that will look to facts that they don't have. I don't see what they could do that we're not effectively doing if we strike the current order, SOP, whatever it is.
Like I said, Your Honor, we believe that our relief is slightly different because we're seeking an injunction to prevent it sort of going forward in any shape or form.
And how would you word that injunction?
What would it say?
Based on what's before the district court, that would be any broader than the relief we could grant by striking the SOP.
We would seek an order in the district court saying that the government was enjoined from engaging in this type of search.
Well, this type of search. Now, the type of search before the court is the one under this SOP.
We believe that the type of search is just one type of search that they could have done under an order. They could promulgate another order that could have a similar type of search or the exact same type of search.
If it were the exact same type of search, then it'd be covered by the first ruling, wouldn't it?
Well, they may have
different
issues. You
would have precluded all issues on the same thing. But you can't go beyond what's before the court, whether you're in this court or that court, can you?
You're correct, Your Honor. But we believe that because...
I mean, you can't come to court and say the government's doing something wrong, therefore enjoin it from doing that wrong thing and 17 other wrong things that are not involved right now, could you?
Correct. We seek to enjoin them from engaging in the search that they have engaged in against the passengers.
But you see, I actually think you'd get the same relief in the Court of Appeals. Let's assume that you're right, that there's a Fourth Amendment problem with this advanced imaging technology because of how intrusive it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The opinion wouldn't just vacate. Our order wouldn't just vacate it. There would be an opinion which explains why imaging of this kind violates Fourth Amendment rights. Now it comes back to the agency, and the agency might develop, you know, a slightly different piece of equipment that does essentially the same thing. And I assume if that would happen, that the parties in that case would come back to this court and say, you know, they're violating this court's mandate, which would be exactly the same as if the district court had issued an injunction. See, I don't see the difference. Can you help me with that?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that the relief and how we're able to get there is slightly different because this Court of Appeals would be limited in terms of its possible review process. It doesn't necessarily have to go back and remand to the agency. And
I'm
we believe, and we believe that. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
No, you're conflating two issues. One is the comparative scope of a district court order and a decision by this court to vacate. And when I asked you about the difference, you lapsed into telling me the process is different, which I assume you mean by that, you know, in the district court, you get a hearing and you can develop evidence, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. But other than that, is there any difference between the order we could issue, the implications of an order vacating this SOP, and a district court order enjoining it? That's what I want you to focus on. Don't talk to me about process.
We believe that this court's rule or its judgment that would come down would have to be limited to affirming, amending, setting aside, or modifying the order at issue.
And if we set it aside, right, and as Judge Tittle wrote an opinion, what would be the result of that?
Mm-hmm. The result could be a myriad of results, and we believe that in the future, the government
would say you can't use this imaging, you can't use this pat down, because, and then we'd fill in the blank and state the principles behind it. And why would that be any different than what you would get from the district court? The only difference here is you all want discovery, right? I mean, that's more exciting and create a record. You don't get that in the Court of Appeals. I mean, that's the real difference here, right?
Yeah, it's not necessarily discovery. Right. It's the ability to put forth evidence demonstrating a potentially alternative point of view of how the process works and the science behind it, Your Honor.
So if that's your argument, then your problem is that this court has the authority under the statute to order the agency to develop a more extensive record in which you can participate.
And that is correct, Your Honor. And our concern is that this court does not necessarily have to exercise that authority.
Well, the district court wouldn't have to have a hearing either.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the district court doesn't have to do anything here. The district court could look at the complaint and grant summary judgment to the government or dismiss the case on legal grounds. So, you know, we don't have to order the agency to have a hearing, and it doesn't have to either, district court. And also, going back to your first point, you know, district court's an Article III court, too, and it can only resolve the dispute before it, and the dispute before it in this case is identical to the dispute that would be before the D.C. Circuit had you brought this case directly. Namely, does this SOP violate the Fourth Amendment?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, was there a question there?
Yeah, the two questions are, number one, I'm not convinced that there's a difference in the remedial relief we could be given, and I think you keep emphasizing the process. So it's the process that's what you're really worried about, right?
That is part and parcel of it, yes, Your Honor.
Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear from the government.
May it please the court, Sydney Foster for the government, and with me at council table is Douglas Letter. The district court here correctly held that challenges to airport screening measures that are at issue in this case must be brought in the Court of Appeals under 49 U.S.C. section 46110. I think the government's position is well explained in our briefs, and I'm happy to answer any questions that the court has, but if the court doesn't have any...
Well, I just have one. Your brief argued this as if it was... one of these inextricably entangled cases, right?
We address their argument that it is
but,
not.
But why? It really isn't, is it? I mean,
it does seem to us that it's actually a direct attack on the actual
order. So you don't think we need that doctrine at all, do you? I mean,
We would take the position, right, that this is a direct attack on the merits of that order and that there's no need even to kind of engage in that inquiry.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have any questions.
There are no further questions. We'll rest on our briefs, and we ask the court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Give us a recess.
Can you grab that third one?
Yep. Yeah.